that kind of force, and Iran has never threatened that. They've never threatened any of their neighbors with weapons of mass destruction. So yeah, I think that it is monstrous. I think there's some issues that Congress and the president should work together on, but violence and keeping our country so beholden to the military industrial complex, keeping our country in debt to other countries, and really encouraging debt among the citizens, and then this economic stimulus plan that George Bush and Nancy Pelosi put together, of course, was only for the mortgage bankers, and the people of America get tossed a few crumbs while the mortgage bankers who got us in this mess are bailed out. To me, I think is another disaster and another reason that Nancy Pelosi needs to be held accountable, and the people of San Francisco need to vote her out and put me in.
Well, basically, how do you think the United States will get out from under this colossal debt, if at all? Is it even possible?
Well, what we have to do is, first of all, everything is possible. And I believe what we have to do is, of course, in the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan, we have to close most of our military bases around the world, bring our troops home. We need to reduce our military expenditures without the occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan. For the first time, it's gone over $1 trillion. So we need to cut back our scale back our Department of Defense, which is not even an appropriate term for it, because what we do around the world has little to do with defending our communities and keeping America safe. And to be prosperous, we need to have a military that is just for defense and to be available if there's a need for it, not in these wars of aggression and for imperialism. And that would greatly reduce the pressure we have on our states, our communities. I know in California we're having a budget crisis. In San Francisco we're having a budget crisis. And the first thing that they talk about is cutting money for social programs and money for our schools, when they should talk about cutting our bloated Defense Department budget and to raise healthy and happy children, and not to take money out of the out of the bank accounts of families, and to reinforce and be there to be reinforcements for communities and families, so we can have good schools, so we can have health care, and so we can have safe communities.
Has there been much outcry about that in California and San Francisco?
Oh, definitely. We have very strong, especially the education community. We have very strong teachers unions here in California and San Francisco. And recently I've heard that the governor is not going to cut as much from education as he had planned to. But still, that's just a temporary fix for a problem that is very deep and systemic. And again, unless we, the people, put ourselves between our children and the military-industrial complex and demand that the money that the government takes from us be used only to reinforce our own country and our own communities, be it infrastructure or our environment or education and healthcare, then nothing is going to be accomplished except these band-aids. The Congress has demanded that George Bush quit reinforcing our strategic oil reserve because of this, horrible situation we're in, where the price of gas and the price of oil has risen, so the price of gas has risen. So everything that we have to buy, the prices have risen. And instead of, structuring a more reasonable long-term energy policy, they're just, again, band-aids. It's just band-aids to make the electorate feel like we're being served, when really we're being given a huge disservice.
Well, and so much of the scarce oil is being used up by the military. That's been getting out now a little, or talked about a little more than before. Is that, you know, to fight a war for oil by burning up the oil we have is just kind of absurd on the face of it.
Oh, absolutely. I think I read a statistic. If the Pentagon were a country, it would be the third largest country in terms of using fossil fuel and fossil energy, and it would be the first in terms of being a polluter. And we mm-hmm. have that problem in San Francisco where the Navy pulled out of the Hunters Point Naval Shipyards and left one of the top 10 Superfund sites in the world. So I think really we have to retool our military-industrial complex to become, you know, environmental cleanup crews where they, you know, put on their hazmat suits and start cleaning up the messes that they've made around the world. I was in Oahu a couple of years ago, and I met with indigenous tribes there who can't fish, they can't swim, they can't use Pearl Harbor like they've used for generations as tribal fishing grounds and, you know, for their community like they have, because it's another Superfund site. And instead of being polluters, we should start cleaning up our messes, and that would put people to work, and that would only be good for our environment and for our communities.
What are their plans for Hunter's Point? I heard they're going to build condos or kind of expensive housing out there and sort of...
Well, their plans, and Nancy Pelosi's family is a part of it, is to gentrify that community. It's the last community we have in San Francisco that is a majority African American, and what they want to do is tear down the housing that's there, the shipyards. They have to clean them up, put a football stadium. They recently got $82 million from the federal government to clean up a parcel so they could put a new football stadium there for the 49ers when the 49ers don't even want it, and it would cost almost $1 trillion to clean up the parcel because it's one of the most contaminated parcels. And what they've done is to parcel the shipyard, so the parcel that was least contaminated, parcel A, was sold to a company called Lennar, which has legal problems all over the country. And Lennar was grading it to build housing when, after months of grading, they finally put asbestos, asbestos detectors out there, and they were kicking up asbestos and arsenic. And so they had to stop grading it. But the city of San Francisco sold that parcel to Lennar for $1.
Oh, wow.
And instead of bringing the EPA in and the government, the Navy should be the one that was responsible for the cleanup. That's where the atom bombs were assembled that were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And there was a lot of atomic testing out there, so it's deeply contaminated. Instead of bringing the Navy in to do the cleanup, they want to give the contract to Lennar. So it's all about privatization. It's all about gentrification, pushing out our diverse population to make room for marinas and shopping malls and high-income housing. And we actually have a proposition on the ballot in June to require that for every low-income housing unit that gets taken off or demolished to build housing, they have to replace it by another low-income housing. And, of course, Lennar and the establishment, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and Gavin Newsom are fighting that ballot. Nancy Pelosi's nephew, Lawrence Pelosi, was in charge of naval shipyard acquisitions when the parcel was sold to Lennar for $1.
Where do they expect all the current residents to go? I mean, where?
They don't care.
They just, they're on their own.
As long as they're not there, they don't care.
Oh, my.
You know, and mm-hmm. I've done a lot of work with that community, the Bayview Hunters Plain community, and my friends there is like, I'll give Gavin Newsom $2 to get the parcel back, because when they grade it and build, it sends all these toxins into the air, and people live there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the Western Addition neighborhood has been gentrified a long time ago. Where did all those folks go? Down the peninsula or where?
Well, since 1990, San Francisco has lost over half of its African-American population.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a tragedy, because I think the one thing that makes our city so great is the diversity and the philosophy that we have room for everybody, but not when there's only so much land that you can build on, and San Francisco has been built, and the Bayview Hunters Point area and the Candlestick Point is the only area where there is buildable land. But you know, first it has to be cleaned up, and they only want to replace it with high income housing. And
what was that?
To me, that is a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of groups are you speaking to? What's the a lot of civic groups where you talk to the people, or?
Well, we have a lot of labor excitement, not so much with the labor council that is heavily tied in with the Democratic Party, but with the rank and file union members. We have a Labor for Cindy committee. I speak at a lot of colleges. We have a Students for Cindy committee. Of course, my natural base was the activist community, the anti-war peace community, that can't really endorse me, but they have a lot of good ground soldiers that, you know, they're organized and have already been working in the community for so long. And I'm just speaking to small groups and large groups. The Green Party, of course, have been very supportive, and they're not going to run a candidate in November, and they're going to back me. So we just need to make inroads to the people who know that there's a problem but think that Nancy Pelosi is part of the solution. And we just have to convince the voters that she's part of the problem and not part of the solution, and I am the solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Green Party might nominate Cynthia McKinney for president.
Yeah, I was just with Cynthia last night. We did a fundraiser in San Francisco, and she, of course, has a lot of support there also.
What about the Longshore Union? How have they been? Have they been doing anything?
Well, so far, they've endorsed Pelosi.
Really?
But that might just be for the primary. And I worked with them, and my campaign worked with them very closely for the walkout on May 1st, the May Day event. And there's a lot of people who are high, ranking members in their union who support me, of course.
What is the state of education? Well, in California, San Francisco, it's, I used to live there. My kids went to a school called Rooftop School. I didn't know if that's there anymore. It's kind of like an alternative school. It was part of the school system. And it was on the top floor of Pacific Heights Elementary, And kids from all over the city went there. You know, it was a really neat school.
Well, I just spoke last week or the week before at a magnet school called San Francisco School, and they teach peace and justice. So that was from kindergarten to eighth grade. So that was a real great experience for me. But the state of education in California is not good, and the state of education in America is not good. I'm working really closely with the teachers' unions in California and San Francisco and the Bay Area. And the No Child Left Behind Act has been disastrous for students and for teachers. They don't get any kind of critical thinking. The schools we're losing our music programs, our drama programs, our art programs. They'll keep the sports program because, you know, that's a moneymaker for the schools sometimes. But the teachers spend their entire days teaching so the kids can pass tests. And that's all they do. And we have found since we've had this program now for most of the Bush administration that a lot of children do not qualify to go to university because they haven't been taught this, the tools and the skills they need to go. And we know also in the No Child Left Behind Act that they have the provision where if a school accepts federal money, they have to allow military recruiters in to recruit our children. And I think the No Child Left Behind Act is just another devious method to funnel our children into the military. Mm-hmm. So you destroy an economy, you have all these free trade agreements that have outsourced our jobs, that have sent our manufacturing overseas, our good union jobs are disappearing. There's very few apprenticeship programs or good job training programs. And so what are our children supposed to do? College is prohibitively expensive. Only the children of the established elite can afford to go to school without having these horrible, being in debt for the rest of their lives for student loans, or like my daughter had to do, work full time and put herself through school. And Casey was working full time to put himself through school. And so they're enticed. Casey was enticed with a large signing bonus and the promise of a free education that, of course, never materialized because he was killed. So I just think that this is all designed, you know, in the militarism and the nationalism and the jingoism and the fear of other isms like terrorism and what do they call it now, Islamic jihadism. That just, what other alternative do our children have, especially if they're from the working class or poorer classes?
Well, and at the same time, you know, the military drops its recruiting standards, so it's like the final link in this chain.
Drop their recruiting standards. I wonder if they even have any more recruiting.
Well, they
standards.
Did have some about, you know, the education know? And not a no big police record, but they're kind of easing up on all that.
Well, and they're raising the age, and they're raising the weight, and they're lowering the health requirements. When Casey joined in May of 2000, and it was still pretty stringent. You had to have a high school diploma. Casey was able to go in as a private first class because he had a college degree, a two-year college degree. He had a high school diploma. They had to pass the tests and the physicals, and it was still pretty rigorous to get into the military. But now, like you said, they're taking convicted felons. Mm-hmm. And the young man who orchestrated the rape and the murder of that 14-year-old girl and her family was a convicted felon.
Oh, my. Well, we've been talking with... How does... you know, it just... I get back to the kind of history they teach in these schools. You know, you talked about the jingoism. When my kids were in school, I used to check out their history books sometimes. It's just amazing the kind of misinformation and just kind of the propaganda you get in the history classes. So it's no wonder that they go to...
There's an agenda. Mm-hmm. When we teach history, there's definitely an agenda. And I majored in history in college.
Mm-hmm.
And until I got to UCLA, I went to a two-year community college and, of course, high school. It seems like the only history we have in the United States is about wars and about how glorious wars are. And then, you know, when I got to UCLA and started, I specialized in U.S. history with a concentration in California history. And that's when your eyes start to open. And then to read somebody like something like Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States of mm-hmm. America, of course, is a more balanced view of the way our history really has been.
Well, I think our time is about up. We've been talking with Cindy Sheehan, who is the well-known peace activist who is running for Congress against Nancy Pelosi. And that election, because that'll be in November, that election. And so thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. It was nice. Hopefully we can come back and give you regular updates about the campaign.
I think that would be a neat idea. Yes, definitely. Well, thank you very much for being with us.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is KBOO. Stay tuned.